Oh, yeah, that Alyssa Mead, it is pregame time here for the 2012 IFL United Bowl. Sonny Clark and Roger Noriega here on the pregame show. Good evening, Roger. How are you?
Doing quite well, Sonny. I'm jazzed and excited. I hope you're doing well, and I really believe this is a first ever for us, for Blog Talk Radio, for the Indoor Football League. Sonny, I don't think anyone else has done this, and we are blazing a trail here.
Yeah, the only thing I can think of is maybe the local stations may be doing it. We're doing it nationally. We're bringing it to you here on Blog Talk Radio. And as a matter of fact, you're going to hear the 2012 IFL United Bowl Championship on the exclusive internet-only radio station. That's the Couch Potato Sports Show. So you'll be hearing that game over there, as well as here, because we'll keep it rolling while everything's still going at the end of this pregame show, and we'll get into the regular game and what we're going to be doing there. Good, good stuff. Tonight's United Bowl is being brought to you by House Bill 975, the anti-bullying litigation that is being worked in there, so we appreciate their sponsorship into this and helping getting the word out for the anti-bullying that's going on. You know, we're losing a lot of children to depression and to death by the bully factor, so we'll do anything and everything to help move that cause on and keep it going and keep it at the tip of people's minds. So the anti-bullying campaign goes on strong here on NDB Media, the pregame show, and the Couch Potato Sports Show. So we're doing really good here. It is time. We're an hour and a half away from kickoff from the United Bowl. We got a great show planned for you. We got both quarterbacks, the IFL MVP and the quarterback from the Tri-City Fever, as well as two wide receivers, one from the Storm and the other from the Fever. And then, of course, we've got some other stuff that we'll be talking about. So the wide receivers, James Terry from the Storm. The other one, Stephen Whitehead from the Fever. They're going to be there. Houston Lillard, you're going to get all this, as well as head coach Mike Davis of the Nebraska Danger. We're going to be breaking it down along with Austin Tolliver to get an idea of what we can see in this game, and we're going to play that one as the halftime show. We'll listen to that and see how they did, what happened to that point, and then when we come out of halftime, we'll comment on that as well. So great night planned, great night of football, getting all set. And Roger, kind of like the nicotine patch to get you to the NFL. That has been my kind of thing. And it's been all that and more. And as a matter of fact, I find myself liking the indoor game more and more and more each time we call a game, or whether we're just sitting down watching the IFL and things like that. We're getting a good brand of football in the IFL.
Most definitely, Sonny. I've got to tell you, the only thing that I had difficulty with was when we say they're crossing the 20, the 25, they should say the 30.
Yes.
But instead we're saying the 20 again. That was the only thing that was difficult for me to get over. Otherwise, seeing these boys, these men hit, oh my goodness, this is football at its best. Seeing them go deep, these kickers who have a much smaller field goal target, quite frankly.
Yep.
This is football at its best, and I'm sorry that people are still learning about it, and sorry in the sense that they've been missing out.
Yep. Yeah, as we've been doing the games, whether it was live at the Allen Event Center or via media feed or whatever the case may be, I still get into the games, and that's something that we've been able to bring here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and NDB Media, bringing out the IFL, getting it noticed, getting people to understand the game, and hopefully we help create that interest. And just to let you know, and Roger, we went over 5,000 listens on the last championship game, and over 5,000 listeners, whether that's live and archive. Unbelievable. Hopefully we'll be even bringing more interest to the games, bring more interest to the IFL, and that's what we're going to be doing here tonight as we hit the pregame show. So, Roger, why don't we kick it off here right away? Why don't we hear from the league MVP, Chris Dixon? This is a guy who is also was second in rushing this year, and after that, we're going to get it when you're ready to run with the stats. We'll talk a little bit about the stats, some things to keep a watch of as far as numbers are concerned, and how we can put them together to take a look at tonight's game. So why don't we start with our first interview, Chris Dixon. You ready to go?
Sonny, I concur. Let's start with Chris Dixon.
Chris Dixon, the MVP of the IFL. Here we go.
You know you make me wanna shout.
Okay, everybody, welcome into the halftime show, pregame show here on the Couch Potato Sports Show with exclusive coverage on internet radio of the 2012 United Bowl. We have online the IFL MVP of the season, quarterback from Sioux Falls Storms, Chris Dixon. Welcome into the show, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking a couple of minutes. You guys got a busy week heading up into the United Bowl, and you know things are beginning to now take place. I don't know about you. I mean, I went over this weekend having a hard time not seeing any football. How is the bye week affecting your team, or maybe even the other team, if you happen to know?
It's just taking its toll. We're in a great rhythm, so it kind of gets you off a little bit. But, you know, it is a good thing for us. We played every game up to this point. We played every week. So to have this week off, you know, was pretty good for us. We needed to get our bodies back, and I think most of us are healed from our injuries. We finally get to go into a game with a healthy team. We've been bruised. I mean, 8 games in a row, it's kind of hard to, you know, try to stay focused and keep your body going. So we're pretty excited now.
Looking at what you've done, I mean, obviously MVP is something that's not familiar to you in the IFL. This is the fourth time you've won this award, isn't it?
Yeah, I won it in 08, 09. I lost it in 2010, and I won it in 11 and 12.
So, yeah, so definitely on a roll as far as your body of work in the IFL. I mean, you know, your indoor game compared to other indoor game players, how do you measure up, or how do you think you measure up to the great quarterbacks in the indoor games?
Well, if you want to compare me to anybody, I think the only one that I think is probably a step better than me because he's been playing so long is Aaron Garcia. Everybody else I can compete with, you know, most of the quarterbacks in the AFL are 6'6", 6'6", 6'7", and you know, they do a good job. I feel like I can go track a thrower if I had to and get it done as well. But I don't worry about it. The only person I really think I can compare myself to is Aaron Garcia right now.
Yeah, and Aaron Garcia gets the win yesterday in their game again. So that was interesting. Not yesterday, but I think it was Saturday. He got the win, so that was kind of interesting. But, you know, comparing you, you're getting into your second United Bowl in a row, facing the same team as you faced last year. You know, as far as what you're looking at, your offense is one of those offenses that can, you know, score at any moment. I mean, if you take a look at this offense, it's potent, it's quick, but I bet you're happy to see your running back, Mr. Williams, back in the lineup, aren't you?
Yeah, we missed him. He does a lot of things. He's like our Marshall Faulk. He doesn't just run, he catches, he blocks, he does everything. So to have him back gives us another weapon that we can strike quickly, and, you know, he's getting healthy, and I think, you know, when we go back to work, you know, this week, I think we'll all be focused and mentally ready to go. You know, it's bruising. You know, it's been a long season. I think we played, you know, 16 games in about 22 weeks. So, you know, we've all been away from our families and got an opportunity to see them, and now we're ready to get back to work and get to this last game.
I bet you the city is going crazy. Sioux Falls Storm, not necessarily known as being one of the biggest towns in the country, but bringing the United Bowl to your home field, it's got to be something. I bet you can't even walk down the street or drive or go to a Subway and pick up a sub.
No, it's starting to start. All the chatter is getting started actually this morning. Tonight we'll be at Applebee's as a team, so we'll get to serve some of our community, and I know everybody will be there and be excited to see us and talk to us about the United Bowl.
Yeah, you got the United Bowl. You're playing a tough team. You know, we can talk back and forth who's better, who's not, but you're the one that is going to be looking over the defense. What are you looking at on the defensive side of the ball for the Tri-City that you might want to take advantage of? What are you seeing there on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, they made a lot of changes. Not a lot. I mean, I've seen two different changes. You know, they got a new linebacker since the last time we played him. He's moving around pretty good, stopping the run. The secondary is a little bit more communicative. They communicate really well. Everybody knows about Singleton. He does a great job of, you know, covering. I just think as a whole, they bring a pretty good team up here. And, you know, of course, their offense is doing their thing. You know, they didn't fought through some close games. And, you know, so we expect a dogfight. We don't expect to just blow them out. I mean, they hungry just like we hungry. And when you got two hungry teams, you just don't know what next.
Yeah, it's hard to get an idea of what you're doing. What is one of the things that you will be working on in practice this week to help you guide yourself to that W to get the win in the United Bowl on Saturday?
Well, we expect Jake Colleen to bring a lot. So he's done so much for him. And so, you know, like everybody says, he got a game plan for me. I think Colleen is something you got a game plan for. The guy is doing this thing. And, you know, I really respect what he's doing, and he's doing really well. And so he's one guy we gotta worry about. Him and Singleton bring a lot of different things in that secondary and up front. So I think those are two people we probably look at and say, hey, we gotta figure out how to stop him.
He is the IFL MVP, Chris Dixon. We got online here. A couple more questions. We'll let you go. The controversy about not having the coach during the first two rounds of the playoff, how did that affect you personally? And then if you can elaborate, how did it affect the team going into those two playoff games? I mean, you kind of rolled through the first two rounds there of the playoffs.
Well, everybody thought it was going to make us, you know, I mean, you leave a giant alone. You know, most people consider us the giants of the league. And, you know, you should have just left us alone and let us go. All they did was wake us up. We all knew we had to focus in, lock in. You know, our head coach was gone, which was hard for us, you know, at first. You know, he does a lot for us. And so, but all we did was lock in and be professionals and just go out and handle our business. I mean, we love Coach Riggs, and, you know, we're happy he's back. You know, things are, you know, better when he's back. But, you know, when he wasn't there, you know, we got it done. You know, at first it was an adjustment. You know, you're used to having a guy who makes most of the calls, and you got to go back and start making calls and different people making calls. You know, the mindset is always different. So, I mean, we adjusted well, and we got it done.
Yeah, heading into the United Bowl, the second consecutive time that you're meeting Tri-City. Tri-City gets in last year kind of by the skin of their teeth. This time they handled the intense conference over the Wranglers in the Wild and the Colorado Ice. This is a division that's beginning to pick up in talent as far as so it, with Tri-City, the second time you're meeting them, what are you expecting into this year's United Bowl for the second time?
I'm thinking our offense needs to wake up both sides. I think neither one offense played well last year. And so I think you're going to get more of the offenses waking up instead of it just being about the defenses. I think both defenses played well in the game. We know what we made our mistakes at against them last year. And so this year we expect to make some adjustments, and I know they are too.
I was talking to one of your counterparts there, James Terry, wide receiver of the Sioux Falls Storm, a couple of minutes ago, and he is looking forward to this game as far as getting involved with it. When you lose James Terry for a while and then get him back, what kind of motivation does that give the team? I mean, he went away for a while, came back, and still had a tremendous year for you guys.
Well, what everybody don't understand is if James Terry played the whole season with us, all three of my top receivers would have been statistically in the top five. And, I mean, he brings so much to the game. He's so much dynamic. You know, he does so many different things. He's not just a receiver. He runs well with the football. He blocks well. I mean, he brings so much. And so, you know, to lose him was a loss. And, you know, to have him back, you know, he taught these other guys on how things should be.
Definitely. Now, looking at your future, I mean, I don't know what a Chris Dixon has in his future. He's giggling at me now, but I mean, you've got to have some interest in Chris Dixon. I mean, you know, looking at what you've done in the indoor league, you're getting some bites from the Canadian league. Some other leagues around maybe have their eyes on Chris Dixon.
Well, my agent says we do, and I'll let him handle that. I don't really worry about it. If it happens, it happens. If it don't, it don't. I'm enjoying myself. I'm loving life, loving football. You know, I think the main thing is I've been enemy number one in the ISL now. You know, it seems like everybody wants me gone. And so it's getting a little frustrating, you know, the thing that people try to do to, you know, either A, getting kicked out of the league, or B, to, you know, just try to get me gone. And you know, it's like this. I've done no wrong to nobody but come in and try to win games. And for people to, you know, do the things that they've been trying to do, to speculate about things they know nothing about, you know, is amazing to me. You know, and as I go along, I'm sorry that I've been on championship teams, but I don't think nobody lives it. I don't think nobody lives their life to be a loser. You know what I mean? I was born a winner, and I'm going to try to keep winning. And that's all my job is to keep trying to guide my teams into victories. And, you know, if everybody's mad about what I do, then every other team needs to wake up their team and make them better and find leaders who can lead their teams in the right direction and stop finding, you know, people who can't lead them in the right direction. I'm sorry about being a winner, and I want to make sure I apologize to the ISL for that reason.
Yeah, there you go. You're kind of like the Dallas Cowboys in reality. You're so good, everybody either loves you or they hate you. So you kind of get both sides.
I think we the Patriots of the league, honestly.
Yeah.
I think we get the Bill Belichick problems and all
there
that.
There you go. Yeah, different time. Yeah, we haven't really talked about the Dallas Cowboys doing anything for the last 15, 16 years. So you're very right about that. The MVP of the IFL joining us here on the halftime and the pregame show here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Thank you for your time, my friend.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, good luck on Saturday, and good luck to both teams, but see what happens on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, thanks. I know the league is rooting against us, so we'll be all right.
You betcha. All right, take care, Chris Dixon.
Hey, fuck you. All
right, bye-bye.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no
That's
more.
That's Chris Dixon earlier in the week. Of course, we had to grab these guys up because they've had a very busy week. But listening to what he was talking about in the interview, and the guy's got a lot of confidence, but at the same time, when I was listening to Chris Dixon and from what he was saying, it was a little cocky, but he didn't have that cocky voice at the same time. The fact of the matter is that this guy has been, you know, like he said, IFL public enemy number one. He has the most one-drive touchdowns in the league, it all around. Never mind, he's the second in rushing in the IFL. Never mind getting the IFL MVP. When you look at a Chris Dixon, their scorekeeper, you've got to look at this guy as go. He's got to be the first thing a defense has got to look at is how the hell are we going to stop a guy like a Chris Dixon?
Yeah, Sonny, and knowing that you're in the final game. First of all, you're going to have to be ready to adjust. You're going to have to change your game plan. And that may be your game plan there. Don't give him the same look each and every time. You're going to have to do your best to pull some stunt plays on defense, and you're going to have to go ahead and just shake it up. Take him out of the rhythm, knock him around a little bit, but you got to get in there, and you got to shake him up, Sonny.
Yeah, in that, I think you're absolutely right. He's seen everything. And this will be the third time that these teams meet this year. So there's got to be a breaking point when you've played a team more than once and you haven't won. You've got to figure out something else. So if you are the Tri-City Fever's defense, you are going to be looking at a lot of different things to try to help you make that next step, and that's to get the victory. And it's hard to beat a team three times in a row. The Storm were going for four times. And I just think about how mentally depleting that would end up being if for somehow the Storm do end up beating the Tri-City Fever for a fourth time in a year, it's got to be something that it would just have that defeatist, you know, attitude coming toward them. What do you think?
Sonny, yes, that's true. But you know what? If I'm on that field, just like you're on that field, we're talking to each other, hey, those were the last three games. If it were over, we wouldn't be playing tonight. This is what it's about. They're the best, we're the best, and we're going to see who's the best tonight. That's all there is. Sonny, today is the most important game. Forget about what they did. They got the best of you on those three occasions. Hey, that was yesterday, pal. What have you done for me lately? And that's today.
Yep, and that is, and you're exactly right, because especially if they're going to throw something that they haven't seen at them too, it's like just a different team, different mentality going into it. This is, you know, for all the marbles. So it's the IFL Championship game, and we are bringing it to you live here on a Saturday afternoon and getting close to the evening time. Sioux Falls, they're getting set and ready to go. But on the other side of the football, we have another quarterback, and that other quarterback has had a spectacular year as well, and has proven himself out on the football field as well. So there's a lot of things in this game, a lot of intangibles that will make their way into the game. And one of them is will Houston Lillard be able to stand in there and do what he needs to do and be the quality quarterback that he can be? Well, let's find out. I had a little conversation with Houston Lillard as well. Let's see what Houston Lillard says here, scorekeeper. You say what you want, second year in the championship game with this same team. It'll be interesting to hear what he has. This is Houston Lillard here on the pregame show here on NDB Media, the pregame show for the 2012 United Bowl. Here's Houston Lillard. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the College Potato Sports Show, where we have online the quarterback of the Tri-City Fevers in the United Bowl this year. We have on Houston Lillard. Houston, welcome into the show, my friend.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking a couple minutes out of your time. As we just, you know, 2 days after you got the win, we're doing this a little bit early. You got 2 weeks to prepare for the United Bowl. And I guess maybe my question is, because I'm dying for this to happen next week, you got a 2 week wait. How's this going to affect you and maybe you as a team altogether?
As a team, I think it's actually good for us. We kind of banged up, and we've been playing some real physical teams these last couple of weeks in the playoffs, so the extra week is probably going to benefit us more than it's going to hurt us.
Yeah, I was looking at your roster. I was looking at your teams that you played this year. You've had a rough schedule, but you were able to get through it and get through it well. What's the difference from maybe this year compared to years in the past that makes you feel where you are? I mean, you are on fire, Houston. I mean, you are playing very, very well, maybe at the top of your game as far as your career right now.
I think it's a lot to do with confidence. At the quarterback position, you go through so many ups and downs and good moments and bad moments. It's all about how you respond. And I think this year I never really got too high or down on myself, so I've been able to play at a consistent level and make good decisions. So that's really what it is, just staying even-keeled and being confident.
Well, I think the even-keeled thing is important as well, because I relate it to golf. I obviously don't play football, so I play golf, and I know if I'm not playing well, if I get my mind off it and just play the game, it makes a huge difference in my game. Matter of fact, I play better when I'm not really thinking hard about it. Do you find it hard not to think what you're about ready to do is a big influence on, first of all, yourself as well as your team?
Oh, yeah, it's hard. You know, as a person, you know, you think about all the moments you dream of, and maybe not the exact level I dreamed of when I was a kid, but it's still a big moment, you know, and it's a big game. And for me to have so much to do with what's going on and for every play, you can't help but to think about what you can do wrong and what you can do right.
And looking at your team, looking at some of your talent that you have there, I mean, Stephen Whitehead, I mean, you get him as a dual threat. You get him as a receiver as well as getting him on sometimes on the defensive side and returning kicks. And Oliver Young, I mean, these are your two guys that you depend upon in your passing game. Let them know a little bit about both of these guys.
Well, Stephen Whitehead and Oliver Young, we call him Trey. He prefers Trey. They're both big time makers, man. They're very confident guys and team leaders as well, both very vocal with what's going on as far as the team. And they're both dynamic threats. Also, Barry, I think Ed Barry is one of the quietly unsung hero in our offense. You know, nobody really talks about Ed Barry, but he's very consistent and he does his job, comes to work every day. But I'm blessed to have such good receivers. They make my job, I get all the credit, but I give it to them because a lot of other teams we play, they don't really have the talented receivers that I have. So a lot goes into play when you got guys who can get wide open like they do.
Yeah, I called his name quite a bit in that conference championship game. So you're definitely looking for him. And say what you want, Dennis Kennedy may not have had a great game last week, but he is your guy at the running back. When you're getting ready to set to call a play, I mean, it comes from the sideline, which is kind of cool. You get the coaches right there on the football field. That's just awesome. But, you know, when you take a look at it, what's the determination on when you're going to run the ball compared to pass it or the play action play or play action pass? Because that's what your team does fairly well. You've got a good play action play setup.
I think our play action is effective because Dennis, he runs the ball so well. You have to take initiative that he's on the field and that he may get the ball. And just us, you know, trying to be balanced. I think this year we were real balanced on offense as compared to last year. Last year I think I threw a whole bunch more yards and touchdowns passing, but this year I ran for a lot more touchdowns and yards as well to Dennis. So I think this year we focused on balance, and the more balanced we are, it gives us a threat to be use play action and just find different ways to run our offense. So that's how it's been going this year for us.
Using your legs, 334 yards and 12 touchdowns during the season. Some crazy stats when you look at that. And when you also look into the playoffs, you know, 47 yards and 2 touchdowns as well. You're able to, you're not necessarily known as a scrambler, but if you have to, you can get it done.
Yeah, all my life, you know, growing up, they're like, oh, it's just because I was a black quarterback. Everybody thought that I was just, you run a lot. So as I grew up, I kind of stopped myself from running. But now that I'm finally coming into my own, I realize that there's nothing wrong with being able to run, and I need to use it as a positive, you know, part of my game. So I really focused on that a lot this offseason when I was training, trying to be more mobile and take advantage of running lanes when I had the opportunity.
When you take a look at your game and you take a look at some of the players in the NFL, who do you kind of market your game like? When I looked at you, there was a couple of guys that came to mind, and not to, like, blow your head up or anything, but I looked at a Byron Leftwich, the kind of size of guy that you are. And you know, is there any other guys that you look at in the NFL that you kind of compare yourself to?
I think a lot of people used to call me, like, Donovan McNabb, but I've gotten older. I think my game is kind of more of like a David Garrard.
That was my second pick.
like, you know, I kind of do it, and he's like, it's not like a wow moment or whatever, but it's just like, you know, he's pretty good, you know. So I think I'm more of a David Garrard. I'm fairly athletic, but, you know, sometimes I choose to stay in the pocket, and when I have to, I take off, and I'm going to move the sticks. I might not break the 80-yarder, but if you let me get loose, I could break the 50. So
yeah. Well, looking at the team you're about ready to face in 2 weeks, this is good for you because you also get to plan against a high potent offense. And what do you think your guys are going to have to do in order to be successful in the United Bowl against the Sioux Falls Storm?
I think we just have to value our possessions. The last couple of times we played them, well, the first time we played them, our defense got us early stop, and we didn't take advantage of it. So every possession counts, and especially on the road, one thing goes their way, and then the momentum shifts, and you might end up in a blowout. When you're playing against a guy like Chris, you can't just give him extra possessions and not take advantage of any mistakes they make. And the second time we played them, you know, we played them to the end. Unfortunately, you know, we missed a lot of kicks, so we ended up losing that game by 1 point in overtime. But I think we found a remedy of what we need. We're very confident when we're going in and playing them, and we're ready to go win it on the road.
Yep, you're about ready to go on the road. You're going to Sioux Falls. We're online with quarterback from the Tri-City Fever, Houston Lillard. Houston, let us know a little bit about your coaching staff, because I think your coaching staff was awesome this year, maybe outranked by your high-powered offense of the Storm and the Blizzard. You know, they got a great coaching staff. I think your coaching staff got overshadowed from two other good teams. Let them know a little bit about your head coach and your coordinators on the team.
Well, first, Coach Shaq, man, he's a very good coach. He's a player's coach. He's easy to get along with. Good guy, good humor, and he makes it easy to play for him. He doesn't ask much. He just wants you to play well and have good character off the field. And then our defensive coordinator, Ryan Lingenfelder, he's the fire. He's the heart. Like, you know, he's the guy who pushes everybody, and he's more hands-on than any of the other coaches. And he's the guy. He really our rock, you know. Like, he does more than people know, and he's a good coach as well. And then Cleveland Pratt is our special teams coach and our defensive coordinator. Works hard, you know, does a lot of things, and he's kind of like the extra coach, so he doesn't get as much credit, you know, as even Coach L.O., Coach Shaq, but he does a lot too. And we only have three coaches, and a lot of other teams have five and six, seven people coaching, and it's just three coaches, and they handle everything, and I think that's why our team is like a family, because we're so hands-on with each other that there's not a lot of people taking care of the small stuff. You got the head coach is picking you up and taking you to doctor's appointments, and, you know, he's not too busy to do the little things for you. He's spending his money to throw a barbecue for us, just little things like that. You know, it creates a family-oriented atmosphere for the team, and I think that's why we play so well in tough games.
Now, you got 2 weeks to prepare for the United Bowl. What is your schedule going to be like, or do you even know? I mean, it's going to be fast for you guys as players and things. I mean, but what's the schedule looking like for the Tri-City Fevers going into the United Bowl and headed into Sioux Falls?
I think this week we're probably going to practice a couple times early in the week, and then just lift weights and stuff for the second half of the week, and just probably watch a lot of film and just try to regroup and not put too much taxing on our bodies. And then once next week starts, I think that's when we're really going to pick it up and start getting to the groove for the championship game.
Getting ready. What time are you going to head over to Sioux Falls?
I'm not sure yet. Coach hasn't really said too much about exactly when we're going to head over. But if I know my coach like I think, we're probably going to go a little early.
Get yourself squared, get yourself relaxed, get ready to go. Now, I'll ask one more question. I'll let you go because this is going to be a long week. That's why I wanted to get it done early, or long 2 weeks for me, but fast for you. Who are you looking at on that defensive side of the ball? You've got some crazy talent. I mean, the speed of the Storm defense is what I noticed last night in last night's game. The speed is there. Who are you keeping your eye on initially there on the defensive side of the ball?
I won't say I'm keeping my eye on them, because the people who I feel is their strongest suit is the people I'm not supposed to watch. You know, I think their D-line is hands down the strongest suit of their defense, and they create havoc, man. They got some strong, fast, aggressive guys come off the ball real fast. So just me having to just be alert and know that, you know, I have a clock in my head and I can't just hold the ball too long and stuff like that. You know, I get in D-line a lot of credit, man, and I'm very aware of them, and I got a lot of trust in my whole line, and we're going to try to battle with them. And the secondary, you know, they're cool, but none of them really jump out to me like that. Their defensive line just jump out. Like, they're dominant. They're a force to be reckoned with.
We're online with Houston Lillard, quarterback of the Tri-City Fever. Hey, Houston, I want to thank you for your few minutes here on our show, and good luck to you in the United Bowl. Congratulations on your well, they put you at the second team, but that's still an honor. There are a lot of quarterbacks in this league. And good luck to you in the United Bowl, and see if you can get the Fever a victory.
Sir, no problem. Thanks for having me.
You right. Hey, matter of fact, this is your second time in the IFL championship game, correct?
Yes, sir. 2 years in a row.
Okay, so see if you can come out on top and play in the same team as you played last year, or repeat to see if you're going to kind of do the, what everybody has been trying to do for Miami, which is snap that thing before they win all of them, a la the New England Patriots of a few year back.
Exactly. You're going to try to change history, man. Go on the road and get them 2 years in a row. Can't lose the second year.
Got it, my friend. You take care, and good luck to you at the United Bowl.
All right, thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye. Houston Rillard here on the pregame show of the 2012 United Bowl. I like talking to Houston. They're both quarterbacks of this game, their scorekeeper, seem to have their head about themselves. They're confident, but not cocky, keeping it, maybe, you know, giving us all the right answers. However, they both seem to have good heads on their shoulders going into this game.
Yeah, Sonny, it's genuine. These guys know what it's about. They're not trash talkers. They're leaders of their team. You know, football is one of the unique sports where you really are dependent on one guy. This doesn't happen in the NBA, in the NHL, in baseball. One guy will make or break you, and that's your quarterback. And these guys have to earn it from their teammates. And it's perpetuating. You do, they get faith in you. And by them getting faith in you, you get faith in them. And it's just a wonderful machine. Leaders grow that way. And these quarterbacks are great. They are genuine leaders, Sonny. They're not full of themselves because they know they haven't won yet.
Yep, and I think that was really good, too, at the same time, as far as being ready and having yourself in the right mindset to step on the field in your championship game in your chosen league, whether it's IFL, NFL, basketball. And speaking of basketball, his brother got drafted by the Utah Jazz just one day before we did this interview, and I wanted to ask him, but at the same time, this is his time. This is his time to shine. His brother got the NBA contract. However, this is his time to make it. So you made the point when we were talking about, and you're absolutely right. Getting ready to go into the United Bowl and to prove his worth, and whether or not where his future would be, whether that's with the IFL next year in the Canadian League or maybe get some looks via the NFL, that's obviously their goal. All eyes are going to be on the United Bowl tonight as well. Scouts, everybody is going to be there. Most of the coaches in the IFL are going to be there as well, and that's going to be something that we'll be talking to Mike Davis, the coach of the Nebraska Danger, when we do a, kind of like a round table with Austin Tolliver, myself, and Mike Davis. So feeling, getting excited. I'm getting ready to roll. If you can't tell, I'm getting a little jumpy in my voice. That's what the championship game does. That's what it's all about here. So, when you heard those two interviews, right now you're all set. Now we're going to hear from a different brand here, scorekeeper. Just as you might think, there might be a different attitude coming from the wide receivers, and that just to let you know, and because I've already heard them because we did them, you're going to hear a difference in tone, a difference in confidence, and that's the difference between the quarterback and the wide receiver just as much as any league. I mean, and I think that's evident even in the NFL, don't you think, scorekeeper?
Of course, Sonny, this is different. Remember, the quarterbacks are akin to the presidents of whatever nation there are. They have to be presidential, Sonny. They're the leaders. But when you get to the other guys, the wide receivers, these are like not necessarily underlings, but these are the ones that can talk the game. These are the ones that can mouth off, and these are the ones that are going to say to the other guys, hey, I'm running across that field, and I don't care. I'm going to catch you. I'm going to put it in your face. Then you get the defensive guy saying, oh, no, you're going to run across my field, boy, I'm going to hit you. So this is where it gets entertaining, Sonny, and this is what I like about it.
And I don't think you're going to be let down by James Terry. And it was a good interview, fun interview for me as well, because I immediately could tell the difference from the players. And I had the quarterback interviews earlier before the wide receiver, so it was definitely interesting. So what we're going to do, we're going to kick it right into the wide receiver of the Sioux Falls Storm, James Terry. Remember, James Terry was at the top of the stats list, and what ended up happening, he stayed up there, but he was gone from the team for a while. So they got him back, which was a good thing for the Sioux Falls Storm. So what we're going to do, let's talk wide receiver. Let's see what the wide receivers have to say. Let's go to James Terry, Sioux Falls Storm, right here, right now. Okay, everybody, welcome into the Couch Potato Sports Show and the halftime show and pregame show. We have online here a wide receiver from the Sioux Falls Storms out of Kansas State University. It's James Terry. James, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. I've been so jazzed over this last weekend. There was no IFL football, so I'm kind of like going through withdrawals. I've been watching the AFL as well, so I'm kind of getting a little bit, but since I'm an IFL guy and watching what's about ready to happen this weekend, upcoming United Bowl, this has got to be something that's feeling good. This is not the first time you've been there, though, has it been, James?
Nah, it's been a couple of times.
Yeah, you've been pulling it. Explain to people what the United Bowl is about. I mean, we can talk about how big the Super Bowl is, and if you were an NFL player, seeing how you're in the IFL, this is the next best thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we all go out and play for every year, you know. I mean, I feel like most teams come out and their message is make it to the playoffs. So our message is win the IFL, win the championship every year.
Having the right mindset going into has got to be something that's huge. Where are you getting the mental focus for not just you, but this whole football team to be undefeated at this point, then having the curveball of not having a coach for the first two rounds of the playoffs? Where are you guys getting the mental strength to keep going to put yourself in this position to get the second championship?
Oh, man, we're getting it from, you know, I feel like I'm getting it from, you know, everybody that, you know, going against us. I mean, from the IFL, like suspending us over, you know, something so small and not even investigating and things like that. We just feel like it's us against them, and they trying to do everything they can to get us to lose and whatever or not. And, man, I feel like the more they're doing is just making us more upset.
And it really did, if anything, maybe it just gave you more motivation to win, than especially in the first 2 weeks of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, they felt like, I guess, suspending Coach Rick was going to hurt us. I mean, I felt like, offensive-wise, all they really did was, Coach Rick was the only person really stopping us from trying to score 100 points. He's more humble than some other people on the offensive team. We're trying to go out and dominate, but from a coach's point of view, you know, he has to be that humble person.
And you do. You got a great coaching staff. You got a good offensive coordinator. I mean, we hear all day long about your head coach because of the situation. Let people know who your offensive coordinator, defensive coordinators, and what do they bring to the table when you're about ready to walk in to defend the United Bowl?
Man, they just walk in. Everybody's awesome. Everybody's like, coach has their own style of it. I mean, they just bring confidence, you know. They did everything they can to get us right during the week, and it's just our job to go out and do that and trust in, you know, what they put into our heads.
Now, you got the MVP of the IFL throwing you the football. I mean, my goodness, I've seen you down here in Allen. I'm the voice of the Allen Wranglers and also calling the playoffs here. And we've seen what you guys are capable of doing. Your running game, you're getting your running game back. You're getting Corey Williams back. You got him back last week. That's got to be something huge going into the United Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's real big. I mean, for us, you know, they're going to have to respect the run. You know, the force can get into some crazy things in open space. So,
never mind the fact that you guys can strike at any moment in the air. I mean, I don't know how many one-play drives you've had this year. Do you know?
I don't even know. Our fans ask for it a lot. Our defense hates it, but we just tell them they got to get more conditioning there.
Yeah, definitely so. We're on line with James Terry. He's wide receiver of the Sioux Falls Storm, the undefeated Sioux Falls Storm. That's huge. I mean, and that's another motivating factor. You guys kind of want to be the Miami Dolphins of the IFL. Okay.
Yeah, you know,
All right, let's stop that. I got the wrong feed. Those that were listening, sorry about that. I will get the right feed up at the right interview. I must have said it wrong. However, I do have the wide receiver, Stephen Whitehead, for the Fever. We're going to bring that one up. I'll get James Terry loaded up here in a second. So let's go to Stephen Whitehead, wide receiver of the Tri-City Fever. Okay, everybody, welcome into the pregame halftime show here on the Couch Potato Sports Show for the United Bowl. We have online wide receiver and special teams player, a guy that is going to make a difference, I think, in this game. Kind of one of those underdog kind of guys, Stephen Whitehead. Stephen, welcome into the show.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
And thanks for taking a couple of minutes here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and this pregame and halftime show to talk a little bit about what's going on. You guys had a pretty interesting season this year, and you guys kept your head about it. You had the Allen Wranglers that you were dealing with in your division, and that seemed to be one of the teams you were fighting for. What were you thinking about going through this season? Was it just to get to this position, or what was the plan there?
Well, you know, the goal of the season was to surpass last year. You know, we happened to make it to the championship last year game. We fought and we clawed our way into the playoffs last year and had an opportunity to go meet Sioux Falls in the championship. Well, this year I think we came in with a little bit different mentality. We came in with the wherewithal to know that in order to be the best, we have to beat the best. So we had our sights focused on Sioux Falls at the beginning of the year, but you know, because of the process, we had to take care of 15 other teams before that in order to get to these guys.
Yeah, and in your conference, the Allen Wranglers, you know, they sign up a Terrell Owens. I guess I've never asked this about some of the other teams. What was the feeling about a Terrell Owens being added to a roster of the Allen Wranglers? I'll just say it. I know no one was afraid of him.
Well, I think it was actually a good thing. I think players around the league were actually happy because it kind of brought a little bit of credibility to this league. You know, he's statistically the second best receiver in the history of the game.
Yep.
So, you know, when that guy decides to come down here, he notices that there is competition and there is an opportunity for him to actually get some film and move back to where he wanted to go. So, to me, it just showed that there was some credibility actually brought to this game. You know, a lot of people look at Terrell as if he's a clown or not. But when he gets on the field, he produces, and that's all he does. And for him to come down here and actually give the IFL a chance and not the IFL give him a chance, you know, I think it was a blessing in disguise.
So, taking a look at this season, what was some of the obstacles that you were looking at going through the season, maybe personally or maybe via the team? What was some of the obstacles you were looking at this year?
Well, I think at the beginning, the main obstacle is coming in is having a lot of guys that's new to the arena game and getting them accustomed to playing within that wall and that short field. I think that's the obstacle, number one. Number two is having the team chemistry and being able to develop that and to get back to where we were last year and surpass that. And I think Coach Shackelford did a great job of that. And we actually have a few core players back from last year that kind of made the transition easy for those guys. And, you know, we're a tight-knit group over here. It's actually ironic that we are because, you know, guys are from different places and we just met. But it's a tight-knit group and we all have one goal. And, you know, it's to win and then it's ultimately to move up.
Looking at your team, looking at what you're going to face, you as a, I mean, you're playing both sides of the ball, aren't you, Stephen?
Yes, sir. I do both every now and then. I like to be a jack of all trades, master of none.
But your main shot is to be open in the wide receiver mode there to help Houston Lillard get over there. What are you looking at as far as the Storm defense? What are some of the trademarks of that team that you're thinking about looking at and maybe taking advantage of?
Well, the thing with the Storm defense is they're big and they're disciplined. You know, they have a small field over there, and I think that coaches do a good job of recruiting the guys to fit their system. You know, they play a cover two zone type game, and, you know, it's not really man-to-man. They don't let the athletes do what they do, but they, you know, they tell them where to go and where to be, and those guys make plays. I think we have to go and attack them as if we did the last game. You know, we had success the last game, and I think we had the most success on them this season.
I agree.
So I think we just have to, keep going on with that plan and you know, actually build on it and then see what happens this weekend.
Do you think playing them during the season like you did is an advantage going into this game, or will that cause you to think too much?
I definitely think it's an advantage. You know, last year when we played, you know, being Houston, the quarterback actually was talking, you know, I think we were just happy to be there, you know.
Right.
We were overwhelmed with the aura of Sioux Falls and, you know, how good of a team they were. And this year, we know we're a great team. We know we're as good as them, if we're not better than them. If we take care of everything we're supposed to take care of, we know there's no one that could beat us. So, you know, we're just trying to go in with that mentality and that attitude this week in the practice and take these guys on, head on.
Taking a look at the offense, explain to everybody how important it is to be able to play action fake and have that running game for your football team, because you've got a good running back on your team, Dennis Kennedy.
Well, I think it's very vital. You know, we actually look at our offense as if we're an outdoor-type offense. You know, it's kind of strange to even think of us being in an arena game, because we end up with 8, 9, 10, 11 play drives sometimes because of Dennis and what he's able to do, and the threat that he has is, you know, it's just worldly, because he not only can run the ball, but he can catch. So when he comes out of the backfield, you have to have somebody as an athlete that you can put on him, or else he's going to kill you every time.
Looking at the United Bowl, I look at two even set teams, and I think there's going to be one part of the game that's going to be so vital. Forget the offense, forget the defense, it's special teams, and you're a guy who's on the special teams. You think it's going to come down to special teams play?
I think when you have any game of this magnitude, special teams comes down to it. Special teams came down to it for us last time, and I can't see it being any different this time either. You know, it's two good offenses, two good defenses, and somebody has to separate themselves, and hopefully it's us in the end, and we take care of all three phases of the game.
What's your assignment on the special teams? I know you're out there. I see you making tackles. I see you. Are you one of the first that the kick returner is going to see, or are you going to hang back and catch them, you know, from the side or from behind?
Well, I catch kick returns. We have a rotation that we do naturally on our kick returns, and Coach Pratt, our special team coach, decides who he wants in. And then during field goal returns, I'm the actual returner. That's normally my specialty. It's kind of similar to punt return more so than a kickoff return. And I get to get back there and just kind of do my thing, pick and choose where I want to go and try to make something happen.
The IFL making their names, whether it's a Terrell Owens or whether there are situations going on regarding coach being suspended or whatever. What do you think the future of the IFL is, and where do you foresee your future here? Are you getting some looks at from some professional Canadian teams or some other AFL teams?
Well, I've actually, you know, there's the world of Facebook now, so you get friends added all the time from other coaching staffs and things of that nature. I'm actually out here in the Tri-Cities right now, personal training, and my goal is to ultimately help other guys such as myself that come through the ranks and give them a better opportunity than I had. I'm a little less likely to make it than those other guys because of my size and my stature, but I feel as if I can pass on my knowledge and tutelage to help them get to where they want to go, and that's really my goal and my ambition now.
Heck, Steven, you know, your size is perfect for the Canadian League. That's where they got some of the smaller guys headed out to.
Yes, sir. You know, there's no doubt that I feel as if I could play. I've done everything I could at every stage possible, high school, college, and this level, and even had an opportunity to go to camp with the New Orleans Saints in 2008. But I just haven't gotten any calls or anything of that nature since been the trials. I think I just don't pass the eye test for the most part because my play speaks on the field. And, you know, I have respect from other teammates and other players that I play against, and they ask me all the time why I'm not up above. And, you know, it's really out of my hands. There's nothing I can do but go and produce on the field and wait for somebody to give me the opportunity.
When are you taking off to head to Sioux City or Sioux Falls to get this done?
We are taking off Thursday. We'll be heading to Sioux Falls, and we have a cavalry coming with us, it seems to be. We have a lot of fans that seem to be making the trip, and we're pretty excited about it, and we can't wait to meet Chris and all those guys again.
Steven, appreciate your time here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and the pregame halftime show. Good luck to you in the United Bowl. Maybe this time you'll get the V in the left-hand side column.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You take care. Stephen Whitehead here on the College Potato Sports Show. Thank you, my friend.
Yes.
Bye-bye. Stephen Whitehead, wide receiver.
Right, like city,
right.
Gonna set my
city fever.
Gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn.
Number two,
so get those
stakes
up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting
out
there. They're all living the devil may care. And I am just a devil with no despair.
Scorekeeper. Whoa, there we go. You there, scorekeeper?
But of course, Sonny.
Yeah, that interview kind of sounded like the quarterbacks a little bit, right?
Yeah, it did, of course. Sounded
yeah,
good.
He was a little bit more, a little bit down. So, and folks, I apologize. I had the wrong file uploaded. So what I'm going to do now, just to let you know, scorekeeper, I already uploaded it. It's ready to go. It's the interview for Terry. This guy here, he is definitely interesting to listen to. James Terry, wide receiver of the Sioux Falls Storms. Take a listen to the difference. Although Stephen Whitehead's a wide receiver, he doesn't have the typical wide receiver talk. We might get this, and you'll hear it here in this interview with James Terry. Here we go. Okay, everybody, welcome into the Couch Potato Sports Show and the halftime show and pregame show. We have online here a wide receiver from the Sioux Falls Storms out of Kansas State University. It's James Terry. James, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. I've been so jazzed over this last weekend. There was no IFL football, so I'm kind of like going through withdrawals. I've been watching the AFL as well, so I'm kind of getting a little bit, but since I'm an IFL guy and watching what's about ready to happen this weekend, upcoming United Bowl, this has got to be something that's feeling good. This is not the first time you've been there, though, has it been, James?
Nah, it's been a couple of times.
Yeah, you've been pulling it. Explain to people what the United Bowl is about. I mean, we can talk about how big the Super Bowl is, and if you were an NFL player, seeing how you're in the IFL, this is the next best thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we all go out and play for every year. You know, I mean, I feel like most teams come out and their message is make it to the playoffs. So our message is win the IFL. Win a championship every year.
Having the right mindset going into has got to be something that's huge. Where are you getting the mental focus for not just you, but this whole football team to be undefeated at this point, then having the curveball of not having a coach for the first two rounds of the playoffs? Where are you guys getting the mental strength to keep going to put yourself in this position to get the second championship?
Oh, man, we're getting it from, I feel like I'm getting it from, everybody that's, going against us. I mean, from the IFL, like suspending us over, something so small and not even investigating and things like that. We just feel like it's us against them, and they're trying to do everything they can to get us to lose and whatever or not. And, man, I feel like the more they're doing is just making us more upset.
And it really did, if anything, maybe it just gave you more motivation to win, than especially in the first 2 weeks of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, they felt like, I guess, suspending Coach Riggs was going to hurt us. I mean, I felt like, offensive-wise, all they really did was Coach Riggs was the only person really stopping us from trying to score 100 points. He's more humble than some other people on the offensive team. We're trying to go out and dominate, but from a coach's point of view, he has to be that humble person.
And you do. You got a great coaching staff. You got a good offensive coordinator. I mean, we hear all day long about your head coach because of the situation. Let people know who your offensive coordinator, defensive coordinators, and what do they bring to the table when you're about ready to walk in to defend the United Bowl?
Man, they just walk in. Everybody's awesome. Everybody's like, coach has their own style of business. I mean, they just bring confidence, they did everything they can to get us right during the week, and it's just our job to go out and do that and trust in, you know, what they put into our heads.
Now, you got the MVP of the IFL throwing you the football. I mean, my goodness, I've seen you down here in Allen. I'm the voice of the Allen Wranglers and also calling the playoffs here. And we've seen what you guys are capable of doing. Your running game, you're getting your running game back. You're getting Corey Williams back. You got him back last week. That's got to be something huge going into the United Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's real big. That's real big. I mean, for us, you know, they're going to have to respect the run. You know, the four can get into some crazy things in open space. So,
never mind the fact that you guys can strike at any moment in the air. I mean, I don't know how many one-play drives you've had this year. Do you know?
I don't even know. Our fans ask for it a lot. Our defense hates it. But we just got to make out to get more conditioning there.
Yeah, definitely so. We're online with James Terry. He's wide receiver of the Sioux Falls Storm, the undefeated Sioux Falls Storm. That's huge. I mean, and that's another motivating factor. You guys kind of want to be the Miami Dolphins of the IFL.
Yeah, you know, I had two undefeated seasons. Like, my first and my second year here was my undefeated season. You know, and it's a Well, I think me and Corey Johnson was the only one that ever went undefeated. That's on the team right now, so we're just trying to get other guys to experience it. It's a great feeling. Can't nobody ever take that away from you.
Definitely. And when you have a high-power offense that you guys do, I mean, the ball could be in the air at any given second. What is the role of a James Terry? I mean, you're not the number one wide receiver, but guess what? You end up on the stat lines as number one a lot. I mean, how does that work with you to get ready for a game such as the United Bowl?
Just like, you know, ever since I've been here, I've been the number one receiver. And, you know, I went away for a while this year, you know, and came back. And, you know, I just had to fall in the role of, you know, or what they had already going, they're going to win either with me or without me. And I just had to go into the role of, you know, what they had going already.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's a good add-on, you know, especially at this time of the season.
Yeah, so, you know, we had a lot of good talent out there, our guys. We play together instead of individually. I mean, you see how hard it is for us to stop. So that's what we go out and do.
Now, looking at what you got going towards the future, you obviously got the United Bowl, but are you gaining interest from the Canadian leagues or some of the other leagues out there? Anybody got their eye on you that you're going to be taking a look at in this off season during maybe some training camps?
I don't know. I've been trying to get an AF Arena One for a while. I mean, they called a couple of years in the past, but I never jumped on opportunity, but I think if it arises this time, I will be happily looking forward to it.
Yeah, I just watched one that if you get the opportunity, I had to get the IFL fix. I was watching Ustream all weekend with the IFL football games going on there. Now, let's go to your opponent in this game, because you're looking at, you guys are definitely the best over in the United League, obviously, with the undefeated season. You know, you are going up against a team that has been able to put it together in Tri-City. You've got lots of athletes on the other side. What is one of the main concerns for the Storm going into this game?
From us watching film-wise, I don't even see any concerns. I mean, I'm just being honest. And, you know, I can give, like, good athlete talk that they got and things like that. But honestly, I don't see no concerns after watching film.
Got it.
I felt like we had a lot of better teams that we would have rather played than them. Like, I would think if Allen would have got down there, nowhere in the world they could have beat Allen.
Right.
I don't think they would have beat Green Bay at all. So I just felt like myself personally, I just felt like I'd rather play a better team because their defensive-wise, I'm just not impressed at all.
When I looked at the team, if there was a problem, I would have seen the defensive line, and you're going to give Chris Dixon all day long. He's gonna come back and somehow and bite you, and that's one thing they got to look at. So the defensive secondary is good, and you're getting it. But when your defense is going up against an offense of of a fever, what do you, or maybe you might not even know the answer, what is the approach to the defensive side of the ball going up against the Tri-City Fever?
I just think our defense, they'll put it, you know, we got great coaches. Of course, when we went down there last time, I mean, we had a lot of penalties called, a lot of things going wrong, but we still filled it out between all that adversity that we had. I mean, but our coaches do a great job of game planning, and I'm pretty sure they're going to come in with a great game plan.
He's James Terry. He's a wide receiver for the Sioux Falls Storms, the undefeated Sioux Falls Storm. Good luck going into the United Bowl, my friend, and we will catch up with you in the future, whether it's AFL or here in the IFL, my friend.
Okay, that'll work. I appreciate you.
James, have yourself a good one, and good luck this Saturday.
You too. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, 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 what a difference a team makes. Listening to Stephen Whitehead from Tri-City Fever and listening to James Terry, two different sides of the coin, two different kind of confidence. And when I listen to it, and I wonder, and I'll ask scorekeeper, is that kind of attitude going to be something that maybe prevent the Storm from taking that step forward to getting the championship?
Oh, Sonny, that's a darn good question. I don't know if I'm going to be able to even answer that one. You know, Sonny, I've noticed there is a consistency with all of them. They're confident, but they're humble, Sonny. I mean, these guys are not trash talkers, man. Not even close. I bet you if they were to trash talk, they would know how to do it. That's why they're not doing it. You get a whole bunch of punks in Major League Baseball and the NFL, and they try to trash talk. And the only thing that comes out of them is trash. What you're listening to, it is, Sonny. You've heard me go on forever and a day. These guys, they're humble. This is a big game. They're confident. They feel good. And they want to put it to the other guy.
You bet. Now, were you ready for this to go over the stats a little bit on what we've seen this year and everything else, or are we going to do that at a later time?
Whatever you would like to do, Sonny. At this point, we are 24 minutes away. I do not have playoff statistics just because they are unavailable, but we do have the season statistics, so there is a lot that we can talk about. Whatever you would like to do,
yeah,
Mr.
Pop into,
Sonny Clark, the hardest working
pop sport. Into that for about, you know, tell us what we're looking at with the Tri-City Fever and the Storm. Why don't you start off with the underdog? Why don't you start off with Tri-Cities on the stats and, you know, what you think we can expect from tonight's game?
Well, as a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the raw numbers, points per game, let's just put it this way. The Storm were number one. Tri-City Fever were second behind the Green Bay Blizzard and Allen Wranglers. Actually, I should say fourth behind the Wranglers and the Blizzard, respectively. So, you know, they scored 53.6 plays a game. They averaged 259.4 yards per game. Their passing was just short of 200, 197.5. I got to tell you, their passing percentage was 64%. Not too bad. They had 60 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Running yards per game, well, they were averaging about 72.1 for a total of 283 rushing yards for the season. You know, Sonny, this is a team that has a good offense when it comes to passing. I mean, look, no one has what the Sioux Falls Storm have, but these guys can put it up there. They can run it at you. Look, Sonny, this team was 12-2. By no means are these guys weak. Their defense is good. Their offense is good. I mean, my goodness, Sonny, this is a team that had 60 touchdowns and only 10 interceptions. Wow!
Yep.
I mean, this is a good team. They can take it to you. Now, if you look at the defensive numbers for this team, the Fever run off a little bit. They're like sixth now. They give up 44.2 points per game, number six overall. Again, number one, the Sioux Falls Storms, averaging just a tad over 40 points. So this is something that you and I have been talking about over and over. There is no 14-7 games or even a 15-14 game here in the IFL. That's just no way. Not going to happen. 40 points That's minimum. And the Sioux Falls Storms were the best at that. But Tritus City Fever were only 4 points more than that. Exactly, at 44.2. They gave up on average 235 yards per game. And they were incredibly effective. They had 24 sacks, much better than the Sioux Falls Storm. But again, they were easily beaten out by the Wichita Wild, which had almost 30 sacks, and the Nebraska Danger, which had 26. But they're not playing tonight. So this team is effective when it comes to putting in your face, putting the quarterback under pressure. Good defense. Sonny, they play the better defense, in my humble opinion. But the Sioux Falls Storm give up a lot less when it comes to yards per game. I mean, these guys only give up 211 yards per game total. Wow.
Yes, that's – wow. That's and that's about the only word there. Wow.
Yeah, but there was still a better defense, the Green Bay Blizzard.
Yep. But like we've talked about it a lot. That this is not the same. This is not the same kind of team that was there. So now let's flip onto the other side. Let's talk about the other team.
Yeah, Sioux Falls Storms. What did they not lead in, ladies and gentlemen? This is a team that scored 40.2. I apologize. I'm looking at the defensive stats. 67.2 points per game. The Allen Wranglers were in second place. This is another team that could score, but they led the league in 317 yards per game. That's impressive. The next best team in total yardage was the Chicago Slaughter at 276, so they were still hands way above everyone else. Their passing, these guys are a monster, 240 yards, and their passing percentage was 74%. Wow, that's effective. Ladies and gentlemen, that means for every four passes, three were complete. Wow. 67 total touchdowns, 7 interceptions. It's just, wow, very well done. Their running game, 81.5 yards per game. That's impressive. Or 4.6 yards per rush. They had 54 rushing touchdowns, and I believe I mentioned 67 passing touchdowns. This is a team that can score a lot of points, Sonny, in a hurry. As a matter of fact, they were 14-0.
Yep. Interesting numbers that you take a look at. Now, what I do have is I do have the stats for the playoffs. Let's talk about the Storm really quick. And Chris Dixon, in the two games, 33 for 44, 509 yards, 13 touchdowns in the game for Chris Dixon. I mean, those numbers are incredible when you think about what's going on as far as the passing game is concerned. Never mind that. 15 rushes, 89 yards, and 2 touchdowns as well. So this guy had 15 touchdowns in two games. That's a potent offense. As far as the rushing is concerned, Corey Williams, 15 carries, 73 yards. But the passing, here it is. James Terry, 8 catches, 153 yards, 4 touchdowns. Carl Sims, 11 catches, 153 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And Solomon also, he gets in there, 8 catches, 156 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Now, when you take a look at the other side, as far as Houston Lillard, 37 of 57, 301 yards, 6 touchdowns. Here's some of the differences. 3 interceptions and 4 sacks. We didn't get that on the other side with the Storm. And Kennedy just had a hard time getting going as far as the numbers are concerned. 17 carries, 57 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He also was in part of the passing game, 4 receptions for 25 yards and a touchdown. Now, Whitehead, Stephen Whitehead, in the passing game, they also used him rushing, 7 rushes for 12 yards and a touchdown, but 4 catches and 26 yards and a touchdown in the passing game. Trey Young, who is another guy, you're going to see him in special teams as well, 13 catches, 114 yards and a touchdown. Barry, he is also a guy that you've got to look out for, 9 catches, 79 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Howard also, he is a guy that might be one of those sleepers in the wide receiver position, 5 catches, 50 yards and a touchdown. The numbers are really huge in difference. However, This is the United Bowl. This is what you're going to see all night tonight. So that being said, we're going to do this. So just so that you know, we're going to go to our last interview. This is the head coach of the Nebraska Danger. It'll take us into our thing. Actually, you know what? We're not going to be able to do that. That's a long interview, and we got caught. But that's okay. I got that all set up for the halftime show. So here's what we're going to do just a little bit, okay? We're going to play a little of this before we have to go over into the coverage of the United Bowl, okay? And we'll get that all set and ready to go. And we'll listen to about maybe 13, 14 minutes before we switch it over, okay, scorekeeper?
Sounds good, Sonny. We want to let everyone know, because we already have listeners, that this is a pregame show. We're going to be moving over to the Couch Potato Show. You're going to hear about 30 minutes of the game here, but the rest of it, and it is in the chat room, that's where we're going to play the full coverage of this wonderful event. And I think we're ready to go, Sonny, as long as we let them know that.
Yep. All right. Very good. Yes. Yeah, so we're going to do a little bit. We'll also give another warning. We'll do about 10 minutes of this interview. It's also the halftime show of the United Bowl. It's good stuff. Take a listen. I think you'll enjoy this.
Oh, you didn't know.
Take it right into it.
Your ass better call somebody.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome into the Couch Potato Sports Show and the pregame and halftime show here. I have online wide receiver Austin Tolliver and his coach from the Nebraska Danger, Mike Davis. Welcome into the show, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it, Thanks for having us.
I'm feeling real good. I'm going to pop off a question here really quick because I popped a thought of one. I'm going to let Austin jump in. Congratulations on the new contract signing over there with Nebraska. What are you expecting for the future for your franchise?
You know, honestly, we just need to grow as a team. You know, we were really young this year, and we took some lumps, but we lost, what, six games by less than a touchdown, and you know, we were in every game. We just didn't make plays in critical moments. So, got to get better on that.
Go ahead, Austin. He's your former coach. Ask him some of the questions like you're directly from the media and get the answers out of him that you want.
Oh, this is going to be really interesting. All right, Coach, let's just have a little casual conversation here. You know, what are we going to do up in Nebraska, you know, about our quarterback situation for next year?
You know, really haven't even gotten into it much. You know, I like the quarterbacks we had this year. We got to make some better decisions at the quarterback spot. But, you know, Rocky's a great quarterback, so is Jamil. And, you know, I really haven't been in conversation too much with Rocky just because he's getting married and stuff like that to see what his plans are for next year. So just kind of laying low right now and enjoying some fun and playing some golf and getting ready to get things picked up.
Yeah, well, tell me a little bit about Sioux Falls and how they're going to go into the championship game.
You know, Sioux Falls, they don't appear from what they do. I mean, you know, they're gonna score some points. Defense is gonna get a stop every now and then, and that's what Sioux Falls does. You know, they're very good at putting a pressure on opposing teams where, you know, they know they're gonna score 60 points a game, so the opponent, you know, Tri-City is gonna come in there and know they have to score with them, and doing that, Sioux Falls can kind of sit up the defense to where you can be in the right positions to make some plays and get some turnovers and put the game out of hand.
Yeah, but as a defensive mind, how do you stop the potent offense? You know, how they always cross the middle of the field with everything they do. Everything they do is middle, deep. I mean, how would you, if you're Tri-City, go into that game to try to stop that offense?
Well, it starts up front. You know, you got to have some guys up front that can get after the quarterback and give Chris Dixon some looks that he hasn't seen before. You know, people think that he's a better runner than a passer, and I totally disagree. So, you know, I like to see him on the move a little bit. And, you know, if you have the DBs to play him a little more man-to-man, then you can do that. I do not believe that the Tri-Cities can play a man-to-man just with how their schemes are set up and to let their defensive line get after them. So.
Well, Mike,
I completely agree.
Yeah,
go ahead, Sonny.
Let me throw this in here just because of your answer. When I look at the Storm and what they're going to do and Tri-City, what they're going to do, but to stop the Storm, I think you've got to make the Storm run the football. This team can strike at any given moment, but if they feel like they cannot get the strikes quick or get the ball downfield, they're going to go to a Corey Williams. I mean, if you're the defense of Tri-City, Corey Williams is a good running back with no disrespect at all, but that's also going to help your game in order to stop the Storm. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think if you can make them one-dimensional and make them a running team that, you know, the ball is in your court, but I haven't seen a team do it yet. I mean, we tried.
Yeah.
You know, we went up there and played them this year. We were in the game. We were down, four at halftime, come out, and we turned the ball over three times in the red zone, and they turn around and get big plays and score on, the next possession. So, you know, you got to kind of put some pressure on them, and to do that, you got to be able to get a couple stops defensively, and you can't make mistakes on offense.
And we saw a couple of mistakes even just in the last championship game that they were in, and I was thinking to myself, if they're going to go up against the Storm, that's something they're not going to be able to do. Looking at Sioux Falls or the Tri-City Fever, they're running back. You got Dennis Kennedy. He's a good running back. You got some good wide receivers, but I think the key in this game is getting Stephen Whitehead involved with the two sides of the games that he's involved with. He's in the passing game. But I think when I look at this game, if Tri-Cities is going to be in it, you're going to have to look at special teams with Stephen Whitehead and company.
You're exactly correct. You know, the thing that is people have a little bit of success with Sioux Falls is when you get them out of their element. You know, if you let them sit in there and put two guys in the box and play their little zones, and they're very effective doing it. You know, if you have some guys on offense that can spread them out and take your shots, and when you can't take your shots, you have somebody that, you know, Houston can take off and run a little bit, then I think they'll have a little bit of success. But, you know, can they maintain that for four quarters? That's the big problem. And a lot of people don't have the horses, you know, in their stable to be able to do that.
Shoot it back over to Austin. Austin, go ahead.
Hey, Coach, I mean, athletically, in my opinion, you know, us up in Nebraska, we were probably the most athletic defense in the IFL. I mean, and like I said, that's my opinion. But I feel that whenever we played Sioux Falls up in Sioux Falls, if we don't turn the ball over, like you said, I think that we win that game handedly. I mean, how do you feel athletically that Tri-Cities steps up to the plate against this team?
Well, I mean, I think we were very fortunate to have some athletes that we had in Nebraska last year, and, you know, we lost to Tri-Cities by 8 in the first game of the season, which, you know, we had four or five turnovers, I believe it was. So, you know, we were probably the most athletic team in the league, but athleticism doesn't win you ball games. I mean, I think you're correct. I think if we don't turn the ball over, we have a nail biter coming down. I don't think any team runs away with it, but, you know, you got to make plays, and that's what Chris Dixon is notorious for. You know, if something happens, he's going to turn around and he's going to put the team on his shoulders, and he's going to say, hey, I'll make a play for us. And ultimately, if you look at every team that's won a championship in the last 6 years of indoor football, they've had a quarterback that not necessarily is a runner, but who doesn't mind putting the team on their back and making plays with his feet when he has to.
Yeah, did you get a chance last week to watch the Sioux Falls game against Green Bay?
Yeah.
All right. Well, last week, you know, Sioux Falls showed it a lot against Green Bay, how they can score extremely fast. But what I thought was, you know, extremely interesting, and what's going to come to be a big point in this game is their special teams play really didn't impress me very much for Sioux Falls against Green Bay. I mean, what do they need to do in special teams, especially on the kickoff game, to be able to not give up big plays?
Well, I mean, they have 8 guys that fly down and rally to the ball. I mean, even their kicker. You look at Parker, I mean, he makes a couple plays and makes tackles where, you know, you got to be willing to basically be all in. I mean, you can't have 6 guys that are running hard and a couple that are not. I mean, if you watch their special teams over and over and over, they have 8 guys busting it to the ball, including their kicker. I mean, that's unheard of, and that's what makes them successful. You know, you got to start inside the 15, probably 95% of the time. And you look at the stats in any offense that starts inside the 15 coming out every game, they don't score very much.
When I look at the Sioux Falls Storm, you were talking about what you guys did. You had the three turnovers against Sioux Falls in order to prevent it. When I look at the Allen Wranglers and their game in Allen at the Allen Event Center, the Allen Wranglers were just like you. And it basically until the last play after the turnover on downs on fourth down. But I think what's key and what the Allen Wranglers were unable to do were to take advantage of the turnovers that the Storm gave them. The key to the game, obviously, is going to be special teams, but taking advantage of mistakes that they make, which they don't make very many, but if you don't take advantage of them, you're not going to get ahead on them, and especially since they can score on one-play drives. I think they got the most in the IFL for one-play drives for touchdown in the IFL. You got to take advantage of their mistakes. When you look at the Storms, where do you think their weaknesses can be that they can take advantage of those mistakes?
I mean, that's tough to say for a team that's, you know, what, 16-0.
Exactly.
They don't have too many weaknesses, you know. I mean, honestly, I think if you go back and you look at all the times that they've had one-play touchdowns and one-play scores, this year, how many of them came after a turnover?
Exactly.
A lot of them. You know, they have the old NFL motto, you know, let's go for the home run right after a turnover, and they're successful doing it. It's amazing to me to sit back and watch them, and granted, Chris Dixon's a pretty good friend of mine, so it's funny to watch, but, you know, the guys are on the same page. You know, early in the year, they kind of were not clicking in full stride, but you know, lately they've kind of picked it up, and they're in places that they need to be. And when somebody needs to make a big play, somebody steps up and makes it. You know, as far as the weakness goes, I don't know. I mean, you're not going to run the ball well against them. You can run the ball against them, but me personally, I think you need to stay true to what you do. You know. Kind of grind the clock out. If you can keep their offense on the sideline, you got a better chance of winning the football game. And you can't turn the ball over. So if Tri-Cities can come out and, you know, they can dominate the time of possession and limit turnovers, you know, I think they'll be in it. Do I think they win? No, I don't. But I just, you know, I think that Chris Dixon and those boys in Sioux Falls have too much to prove, and especially after what happened with Riggs the past two games. So,
yep.
You know, they're in it to prove something.
They're going for their sixth championship in 8 years between a couple of different leagues that they're in, so that's huge. But the Sioux Falls Storm, we were talking about it, Austin. The defensive line of Sioux Falls, how quick they give. Okay, everybody, Sonny Clark here. We got only 3 minutes left to go in the show. You'll hear the whole interview there at halftime. We're about ready to kick off the IFL and the championship game here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and NDB Media. Some interesting stuff in those interviews there, scorekeeper.
Oh, most definitely, Sonny. And again, look, you know what? If confidence is attractive, I got to tell you, these gentlemen really bring it to you.
Until showtime.
These guys are not bragging, Sonny. They're just talking the game the way it should be, and they're smart about it. They know how to play the game, Sonny. I love that comment about, you know, right after you get a turnover, you go for a home run. You know, it's true, Sonny. We've seen that watching the NFL. The minute you go for a turnover, hey, baby, you go deep. You go for the home run. I like that. I had always thought about that, but now I heard it, and it's a good strategy, Sonny. Yeah.
Yeah. And I tell you, we're only a few minutes from kickoff here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. A minute and 34 seconds left to go. And I'll tell you, I'm just jazzed and ready to go. This is the 2012 IFL Championship, the United Bowl. You're only going to hear it on internet only, exclusively on the Couch Potato Sports Show. If the folks that are in the chat room stay there, that's
one minute until showtime.
after a half hour, it's going to kick over, and you are going to lose the feed here, and then you can head on over to the Couch Potato Sports Show. A featured show tonight, the IFL championship game. You know, I've been psyched all week long, and we're about ready to kick it off over into the Couch Potato Sports Show. Any final thoughts before we get out of here and we go into the pre-recorded pre-game show, because we get about 5 minutes before the game and before the kickoff there, scorekeeper?
I'm looking forward to this, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to say this will be a simulcast for at least an hour. So everyone head on over to the chat room over at the Couch Potato Sports Show, and life is good in the hood, so they say, and let's make this one happen, Sonny.
That's the way you call it, and I agree. That's all good in the hood. It's all good here on the Couch Potato Sports Show, along with NDB Media. It's been a great relationship. We're about ready to kick off the...
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. United Bowl. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
Going to be back in the shotgun. Kennedy out to his right. And Lillard's looking left, and he's going to use his leg. He's going to try to take it in for a touchdown. Tri-City. All right, Chris Dixon in the shotgun. Williams off to his left. Ball snap, and he's in the end zone. And he's looking, and he's going to go deep for a touchdown. Two ball storms, and on the reception, Clinton Solomon wide open like that. It's going to be a long, long night for the Blizzard. Only coverage of the 2012 IFL United Bowl. It's the Tri-City Fever versus the Sioux Falls Storm here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your IFL radio network. Sonny Clark, Roger Noriega, and IFL wide receiver Austin Tolliver on the call. Okay, everybody, here we are. It is time. It is time for the 2012 IFL Championship game here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and your IFL radio network. First of all, we'd like to thank the IFL for the permission to bring you this championship game here on the Couch Potato Sports Show and Blog Talk Radio. Good cooperation between the league and our station to bring you action here outside the NFL, outside of college, a little bit of different type of thing. And you got to see it all year long, or actually hear it all year long here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. And we'd like to thank the IFL and the Allen Wranglers for the opportunity to be able to do that here on our show. So when you take a look at this game, these are the two teams that you expected to be there, the Tri-City Fever and the Sioux Falls Storm. Both the number one seed in their conference, in the Intense Conference and the United Conference. These are the teams that fought all year long. One undefeated, other only with three losses on the year. Two huge offenses, two huge defenses. So the game possibly could come down to special teams when you take a look at this game here for the United Bowl Championship. You're going to get it all here tonight here on the Couch Potato Sports Show, bringing you the championship game here of the IFL right here live on the Couch Potato Sports Show and Blog Talk Radio. This is the season finale of the IFL, and they're going to crown their championship here tonight on our show with Roger Noriega, Austin Tolliver, and Sonny Clark on the call. Tonight's game is brought to you in part by House Bill number 975. Bullying is becoming an epidemic in the United States, and we are losing our youth in depression and in death. Keep your eyes open for House Bill number 975. Together, we can make a difference.
It hurts when I get bullied. It hurts when my friends get bullied. But most of all, it hurts when I try to tell someone and they don't try to stop it. But maybe you can help me. Maybe you can help me take a stand. Help stop bullying. You can make a big difference. It's time for all of us to take a stand against bullying.
House Bill 975 saves lives. The Anti-Bullying Harassment Act of 2011. Help Abby get the word out. For more information on how you can make a difference, go to www.cheerforacause.org.
I sent Julie an edible arrangements bouquet. We're best friends. I had one delivered to my parents on their anniversary because I was thinking of them. And for Peter's birthday, a very special party. Edible arrangements bouquets are gorgeous, made from fresh fruit, and taste delicious. You can even add chocolate. So make any occasion special. Ordering is easy. For pickup or delivery nationwide, visit a location, call, or go to ediblearrangements.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
4 minutes.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, O Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I can hardly keep myself contained. We don't have Austin Tolliver in yet. Not sure if he's having problems. However, we're going to handle it until he gets in and what he does. It is the United Bowl Championship. Good evening, everybody. Roger Noriega and Sonny Clark on the call. Good evening, Roger. How are you, my friend?
Doing very well, Sonny. That was a hell of a pregame show, if I do say so myself, and I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be the game, Sonny. And as I'm fond of saying, there is no tomorrow.
Yep, that's what it is. It's all or nothing, and the Tri-City Fever, they're going to have to figure out something different because in the first three meetings, they haven't been able to get anything done in order to stop the Sioux Falls team. They are in Sioux Falls Arena, and this is their home turf. Now, remember, in these end zones, normally they're 8 yards. In Sioux Falls, they are 6 yards. So just to let you know, so when we're calling the AC, well, it's a here, you got to add 8. In this instance, we're going to add 6 because that's where the end zone is. And the IFL, it's fast and furious, and you're only going to get it. Good to see Crable back in the lineup for this football team for the Storm. This guy is really quick. He got hurt, and now he's back. It's good to see him in there. And I'm wondering about Rondell Krim. We haven't got an injury update on him. So they're getting ready to kick the ball off here in Sioux Falls Arena. What are you going to keep your eyes on in this game there, scorekeeper?
I'm going to the defense of the Fever, Sonny. This is where the game is going to be played. Both of these teams can air it out. Both can run, but it's going to be up to the defense of the Fever to make a difference because as of now, they're 0-3, Sonny. So that's what I'm looking at.
Yep, so here we go. It's the way it is. I thought you were going to say the score, the cheerleaders of the Storm, but I'm glad you hit right in there onto the defense, and you're right. I'm going to be watching special teams in this game because they're kind of evenly matched, even though the offense is high-powered from the Storm. That being said, it's not necessarily going to be the thing if the Tri-City Fevers can slow them down, so I think the game is going to be won that way. Okay, the Storm won the toss, so they're going to have – or the Fever won the toss, so they're going to kick off to Sioux Falls. The Fever will be getting the ball first in the second half as Beeson goes ahead. He sets his ball up, and we're about ready to get into the 2012 IFL United Bowl, and he puts his foot in it, and the game is up. The ball is being kicked, and it's being fielded at the 4. He brings out to the 5, to the 10, to the 15, down to the 20. About the 23-yard line, that was James Terry on the return, but that was Williams on the return. We're going to see Williams in the backfield for the Storm. Corey Williams just coming back off an injury. This is his third game back. And then, of course, we have IFL MVP Chris Dixon in line for the Storm. Clinton Solomon, Carl Sims, and James Terry all starting at the wide receiver position for this football team. Also, on the offensive line, you're going to see Charlie Sanders as well as Anthony Thomas and Gerald Davis on the – or I'm sorry, Mania Smith on the offensive line. So getting ready for the first offensive play of the United Bowl. Chris Dixon is back in shotgun by himself. 2 men in motion at the top of the screen. 2 men on the line. Ball snapped, and it's a quarterback keeper right away. And Dixon takes off, and he takes the ball out to midfield as they pick up about 3 yards on that play. And they're already starting out trying to establish a running game there for the Storm.
Yeah, Sonny, that's going to be important. If you can control that game or that aspect of it, it's going to be a whole different ball game, Sonny.
You bet. So here we go. They're looking at plays right there. So Chris Dixon's going to be off in shotgun. Corey Williams is going to be next to him. 2 men in motion, top of the screen. Ball snapped. Dixon back to pass. He's looking over to his right. He finds his man, but it looks like he dropped it. He did drop it. That was Solomon, was unable to keep the ball in his hand. He's got to bring that one in.
Yeah, Sonny, that was mine, but he was looking at it. he was already looking at gaining some yards on that one. That was his to catch, and he couldn't do it. Sonny,
right,
why don't you get your chat room open?
Oh, let me do that. Thank you very much. I forgot about that. I appreciate it. We're opening
and
up.
And there they are, Sonny, the cheerleaders.
Without fail, the Storm cheerleaders. Okay, it's going to be 3rd down and 7. 2 men are going to be in motion top of the screen, 2 on both sides on the line. Dixon back to pass as he gets the snap. He's looking. He finds his man at the 20, and he takes it down to about the 16-yard line. That was Solomon on the catch. And I don't know if that's enough for a first time. We're going to find out. No, it doesn't look like it is. He snapped his hand that he wasn't happy about not getting that first down.
No, Sonny, so, it was a good pass, but we have holding on the defense,
and that will give them the first down or possible replay. We'll find out what that's going to be as they get set here. That is a bad you had stopped the Storm, the offensive aggressiveness that they are, and you've stopped them from getting the first down, and it's going to be holding. So we're going to find out that it is declined, and it's going to be first down as the ball is going to be placed at the 16-yard line of the Tri-City Fever. So the Storm are out there knocking on the door, 12 minutes, 58 seconds left to go in this first quarter. Dixon back in shotgun by himself. He releases the wide receiver, and he passes over the middle, and the ball's intercepted. And that is, looks like, yep, that's Whitehouse on the return, and he's returned it to 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, and that's a touchdown. And that is the Tri-City Fevers, and that was Lionel Singleton. I'm sorry about that on the coverage. And he just stepped right in front of the intended wide receiver, Clinton Solomon, and Tri-City's already on the board, taking the early advantage here in this game.
Wow, Sonny. You didn't get touched on the way back. That actually had touchdown written all over it, and just great defense jumping up in the way. And he got hit early on, had 2 blockers. The rest was history, Sonny.
You bet. And if he would have got it just a little bit higher, he had Solomon in the back of the end zone for 6 points there for the Storm. However, you're right. And he, Lionel Singleton was able to get up high enough to get that. He broke about three tackles to get into the end zone. And they take a quick 6-0 to lead as they bring on Brady Beeson for the extra point for the Tri-City Fever. So the ball snapped, ball down, kick up. It is good, and so we're already off and running, but it's not who we thought it was going to be. It was actually the Tri-City Fever who gets up on top of the Sioux Falls Storm. We're going to take that break out on the field. We'll take that same break here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. You're listening to coverage of the United Bowl here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We'll be right back.
The paramedics magically sent data about my heart attack through the air directly to the doctors and nurses' phones. And that's how the Internet saved my life. With a little help from Dr. Tanner here.
Oh, thank you.
Texas Health are the only hospitals in North Texas with real-time remote EKGs, so patients can be assessed before they arrive. Breakthrough heart and vascular care. It's how we're making healthcare human again.
Back at the Falls Arena, Sonny Clark coming to you live. And we'll recap that here in a second because they've already got the ball up on the goal line. Folks, remember, the IFL field is 50 yards, so midfield is the 25, and they kick it off from the goal line as Brady Beeson goes ahead and he gets his foot into it. He puts the ball up in the air. Ball's going to be returned. That's going to be Corey Williams. He brings it out to the 5, now to the 10, and he's wrapped up there by the Tri-City Fever, and that was Rundell Krim. Good to see him back into the game here for that, and they're showing the replay. He just didn't get enough air on that one, did he, scorekeeper?
No, he didn't, Sonny, but it was great position on the defense, and as we can see it once again, he took it about 49 yards back for the touchdown. Impressive run back, and I believe that's also the recap. The PAT was good, and they now lead 7-0, Sonny.
You bet. And so the Storm are going to try to get us started off again. Not necessarily the worst thing to happen. They just maybe change their mentality and just say, hey, they had the ball first and just forget about that play. So hopefully that's what's going to happen for them as they go. All right, Chris Dixon is going to be in shotgun. Williams off to his right for the Storm. He releases two wide receivers back to pass, and he is. He's going to go deep, and he finds his man down at the 5-yard line, maybe down to the 3-yard line. And wow, how about Carl Sims getting involved in this game immediately after their turnover?
Oh, Sonny, that was sweet. When he went back and to throw it, I'm like, yes, go for it. And sure enough, he found his man downfield. Excellent pass. First and goal for the Storm. Wow, oh, wow. They went deep on the first play, Sonny.
Yeah, they went deep, and it's already started for the Storm. So they're going to try to get out and get back into this game. All right, so we have Dixon back to pass, and he is going to be in the shotgun. Williams is going to be off to his left. Two-man in motion at the top of the screen, one on the line. So they're all on the right-hand side. Oh, no, they separated. And on a fly pattern, they give the ball to Terry, and Terry is able to get about maybe 2 or 3 yards. And the Tri-City Fever's defense read that fairly quickly.
Yeah, Sonny, on that one they did. And, you know, it was actually good defense in the prior play, but the toss was there. And on this one, they did rush it in. They went left, and the Fever were right in on them.
Yeah, a little scat back play with a little wildcat idea as Terry tries to get it in there. All right, so back in the shotgun, the ball is snapped and is given to Terry on the right-hand side. Actually, Williams, and he is unable to get anywhere on the right-hand side. Lots of cover. Joseph France on the stop there for Tri-Cities. Williams couldn't find anything open right there.
No, Sonny, they read the book, and it didn't happen. It was excellent pursuit by the Fever. And that's what I was watching, Sonny. That's what I was telling you I was watching, hoping the Fever can make a difference.
Yep, defensively, they're going to try to hold them here as we go now to second down. And there's 11 seconds left to go on the play clock. Dixon's going to be back in shotgun. And
actually,
off to his right-hand side is Corey Williams. And back to pass, and they fake it off to Williams. And Dixon's going to take it right up the middle for a touchdown. Sioux Falls ball stormed on the fake to Williams, finds the big hole in the middle, and he just basically walks it in to make the score 7-6, and they sold it, and they sold it well there, scorekeeper.
Yeah, Sonny, well done. They got right back in this one. I swear to you, it's like he walked in, could have bought himself a cappuccino and drunk it all the way in.
Yep, you can't find a bigger hole than to take a Mack truck through. So they bring on Parker Douglas for the extra point. Here is the score, 7-6, 10 minutes, 5 seconds left to go. And boy, oh boy, he darn near missed that, but he did get it through. So the game is now tied with 10 minutes, 5 seconds left to go in this first quarter. You're listening to the IFL United Bowl here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We'll be right back.
Man, I dig inner monologues. Hello, hello, hello. Oh, look, a fillet of fish just sitting here in my mind being all delicious. Hey!
That's my sandwich.
What? How did you get in my inner monologue?
Door was open. Give it back.
Man, get your own invisible sandwich.
Any day is a great day for a Filet-O-Fish sandwich. And right now at McDonald's, you can get two Filet-O-Fish sandwiches for only $3.33. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary.
Back in Sioux Falls Arena, Sonny Clark, Roger Noriega on the call. Austin Tolliver running a little late unless he's at a party.
Yeah.
He's going to skip out, but that's okay. We got it handled here. You know, the original dynamic duo here of Blog Talk Radio, Roger Noriega and Sonny Clark on the call.
Yes, we are, Sonny. The last play was four plays. They went 39 yards, and, of course, they capped it off with a rushing touchdown, and the PAT was good. And, Sonny, with 10:05, we have a brand-new game, 7-7.
Yep, and so this is going to be the first time we see Tri-City Fever's offense on the field as Parker Douglas is about ready to put the ball up on the tee, and he does. And Trey Oliver will be returning the ball for the Tri-City Fever, and it's deep, and it looks like they're going to field it at the 2. He's to the 5, to the 10, to the 15-yard line, and actually on the return, that was Lionel Singleton for the Tri-City Fever. So Singleton on the return. Normally we see Oliver, or for that matter, we see Stephen Whitehead on the return for the kickoff return. So a little bit change of personnel for Tri-City as they get into this game tonight.
Yeah, Sonny, I like what I see. The game is still early. It is 7-7. We're looking at a good ball game already.
All right, Houston LaLarge got back in shotgun. Off to his left is his right running back, and he gets the ball off immediately, and he finds his man on the left-hand side. That's Whitehead. And, boy, I like those quick passes that we're seeing here in the IFL. I think it makes a huge difference and keeps the excitement going. And I think that's one thing they're going to have to do right there.
Yeah, Sonny, and when they get the Storm on a good defensive pattern, they should go to the, you know, no-huddle offense. That's what I would do, Sonny.
Yep, here we go. All right, LaLarge's going to go under center. And he's got his man Dennis Kennedy back there, and he shuttles it off to him. But, wow, look at that defense of the Storm. The Storm defense swarmed all over. There is a flag. I'm wondering about what that flag's going to be. It might be a face mask.
Yeah, Sonny, you know, the players are tapping their helmets. But I think that was a face mask perceived. It may not have been. It looked like it, Sonny, but I don't think it was a face mask.
Yeah, it might be a form of a horse collar. Let's find out.
Oh, personal foul, wasn't it?
Wow, it's a personal foul. Yep, and I'm not sure why they're even calling that. You got to let him play. This is the United Bowl. Maybe something I missed, but I didn't necessarily see too much into that play to make that what it ends up. But the Fever, they're going to get that first down. They're going to move the chains, and we'll find out where they place the ball here for the Fever as the Fever take advantage. That's a 15-yarder. That's a big hit.
Yeah, so, Sonny, it looked bad. I don't blame the ref, but it was a bad call.
All right, first and 10. The ball's on the 16-yard line of the Storm. Is the large back after he gets the snap, and he's looking, and he's just going to throw that one away. and the Storm defensive line was coming right at them, and they were making some noise. Johnson was pushing in on Lillard. We're seeing a lot of red jerseys coming back there, and they even brought him down, making him feel it a little bit over there, Xavier Jordan on the Storm defense. So we're about ready to get this second. It's going to be second down and 10. Ball is at the Storm 16-yard line. Lillard's looking over the defense. As he looks, he releases two wide receivers, ball snap, he's back to pass. Here comes a Storm, and he just throws that ball away, incomplete, and he is lucky to get that ball out of there. Ball was, I guess Whitehead was intended, but their intention was to get rid of that ball, man. The Storm defense was right in his face immediately. Wow, he almost caught that one. We're seeing the replay.
Yeah, Sonny, he almost did, but there it is. The Storm is playing very tough defense, and they're going right at him on every play.
Price getting in his face of Houston Lillard. Okay, it's third down and 10 for the Storm. Ball still at the 16-yard line, 7 seconds left on the play. And he's back, and he takes the snap. He's looking to pass, and he's got some time, but here it comes, the Storm. And it looks like he just threw that one away. It's now fourth down, and I will tell you, just looking at this first drive, whether it's nerves, I don't know, but that offensive line had better figure out a way to stop the Storm from getting in Lillard's face. But, however, he can't stick in the pocket for that long either. He's going to have to find a guy a little bit quicker. So a combination of the two might help the Fever as they're going to go ahead. They got to bring on the kicking team here. They don't want to get behind, or at least too far behind, as far as this Storm is concerned. The ball's going to be placed on the 23-yard line. So with the 6-yard end zone, it's going to be a 29-yard field goal attempt for Beeson. Ball snap, kicks up. Oh, and he shanked that one off to the right. He missed that one by a mile, not even close. They might have even got a hand on it, but guess what? There's a yellow hanky out on the field, and that's something that the Storm don't want.
Yeah, you know, this is something you cannot work on tomorrow. You've got to get your act together. There shouldn't be any penalties, and this really could cost the Storm big time.
Yeah, because depending on the call, they're going to get another shot at it. It was third down and 10, unless they're going to give them a big penalty. Let's find out what the call is going to be. And it was roughing the kicker. That is a first. Oh, it's a 5-yard penalty. It's still fourth down, so it moves it a little closer and gives the Fever another opportunity to get the ball through the uprights.
Well, Sonny, here's the thing. It now makes it fourth and 5. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was roughing the kicker. That's a bummer. He had kicked it off. He was still in the air in a defensive position. Yeah, that was roughing the kicker. Clearly.
Okay, so now it's fourth down and 5, and they bring in Houston Lillard as they place the ball. They're going to have to get down near the 1-yard line or in the end zone for the first down. So Lillard's going to be underneath center as he has Kennedy behind him. Two releases of the wide receiver. Wow, man in motion. Guess what? That was a hard count, and they caught the Storm. And how about that? That was, I don't want to call it sneaky, but it sure was good strategy. Hard count draws off the Sioux Falls Storm, and wow, that is something the Storm cannot do on their home field there as well, their scorekeeper.
Yeah, Sonny, if that's a hard count foul or penalty, that's a first down. That's got to be.
Yep, they make it a first down, and they're going to – let's see here, because they had 2 5-yard penalties. No, come on. Hey, come on, let's do the adding here. It was fourth down and 10, you had a 5-yard penalty. You just got
Sonny,
another 5-yard penalty. It's first and goal for this, Tri-City Fever.
I know. I mean, why are we even talking about this? It should be first and goal.
Missing this, and this is not the thing to do. This is a championship game, so let's find out. I'm not sure what they're going to call. We're going to have to see that stick on the side. If we don't see any stick, yeah, okay. It's first and goal for Tri-City. There we go. So Lillard's going to be under center. They bring in a big package for rushing there, and they go ahead and get it off to Kennedy, and Kennedy is just wrapped up immediately. Jordan on the stop there for the Storm. He gets absolutely nowhere, probably a loss of about 2, as well as Price was right there, boy. They read that one immediately when they brought in the big fullback there.
Yeah, Sonny, they just penetrated. Excellent. They just got through there. But, you know, Sonny, you've got to establish that running game. It's first and goal, and you got to continue with that one. It's just the way it's going to be. And
you
got to run it again, Sonny.
Second goal at the 8-yard line. They bring in Bennett at the fullback position there. The ball is snapped, and they fake it, and they move around, and he almost gets knocked down by his own players as Lillard's going to use his legs, and he gets it down after he scrambles, and he's going to get down to about the 5-yard line, maybe a gain of one after all the running. However, he almost tripped over his own player as the Storm defense aggressively going after Lillard.
Yeah, Sonny, that line's going to hold a lot better, and they're not. It's just,
nope.
Storm's got them. They've got them defensively, let me tell you.
And now it's going to be third down and goal. Three penalties for 21 yards, as we're seeing here, and that is huge. It's the United Bowl Championship, not the time to have those mistakes go. Third down and goal, ball placed at the 4-yard line. Lillard under center releases two wide receiver and a shuttle off to the left-hand side to Whitehead, and he's not going to get in. He is wrapped up by many a Storm out there, as well as Stuart Franks, who is one of the guys that says, that ain't happening here.
No doubt about it, Sonny. They definitely stopped them, and now we're at fourth and goal again, Sonny.
Yep, fourth and goal, and there's Whitehead in the lineup. I have not seen the kicker as of yet. Will they go for it here? I'm telling you, I'm taking the three. I'm seeing the defense of the Storm. You got to get the 3 points on the board. However, it does not look like that's what's going on. They are lined up. Lillard is out there, and, they need to take a timeout, and they're going to do that. They're going to take a timeout on the field. They got to discuss this. And so since they're going to take a break out on the field, we'll take that same break. You're listening to coverage of the IFL United Bowl here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. We'll be right back.